All right, so let me just share something concerning the matters that we've been discussing for a while now. And this note is not done, but I think it's worth, you can see the coffee mugs and the computers. I can see Zorina typing and we are just ready to get into the world of wealth. We want to interact with the systems of the earth and all. So let me share something. I got this template few days ago. I've not used it. I'm trying my hands on it, so a lot of things are incomplete. But basically, I've been talking for a while about where the money is. I mean, that's pigeon. Where the money go, they is just pigeon on the side. I think Temi understands this better. Where is the money? And we are learning about becoming kingdom economic powerhouses in the earth. Recently, I heard a prophecy and it moved me. It moved me so powerfully. There are some scriptural considerations I want us to come into. But if you recall last week, I was talking about how you need to start with the why, what and why, find the problem, find the things that are frustrating people, and bring in the solution and all. This week, I was just scrolling through social media and I came by one of those millionaires talking. I can't quite remember his name, but I think I'll push the link of the video somewhere. And he made a comment. He said one of his, there are a number of things he talked about in different two different videos, but the second video, he said one of the things that he has learned reading all other millionaires has been the fact that people will advise you not to go to places of challenge and all. But the books that he has read and millionaires that he has listened to will always tell you, go to where the problem is, because that is where the money is. Where the problem is, that is where the money is. So last week, we were talking about some of these things and how you can create or you can make value addition, and that changes the resources that comes into your hands. It's called current. I mean, Kelvin and I were talking about it today again. It's called currency. It carries some power with it and it moves from one location to the other. It has transmittable power. It's so that we can step into the realm of currency. We can step into the realm of resources. So there are some few scriptures. I believe you know these scriptures already, and I want to just pull them to your attention. And so let's get going. Okay, I brought two of them. Psalm 35 verse 24. It says, let them shout for joy and be glad. Let them shout for joy and be glad. Well, I think I repeated it. Let them shout for joy and be glad. Who favor my righteous cause? And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. That word prosperity, we know how messed up that word is and how in certain places people would not want to be associated with that word necessarily in terms of the world of preaching. But that word prosperity is good word. It's a good statement. It's a good sentence. The word is not just a word, but it's a statement. It speaks of tranquility. It speaks of alignment of all things. It speaks of every part coming together and standing together to make whole, to make the whole. It speaks of things coming together to form the correct and the bigger picture. That word prosperity speaks of integration, integration, how things are integrated and woven together. That word prosperity or to prosper also speaks of the expansion of the boundaries of our lives, the contours of the boundaries of our life, how far and wide we will be reaching It lies within the domains of prosperity. And that word prosperity also speaks of the weight that comes, my goodness, the weight that comes on us as a result of finances, money. So basically, it speaks of completeness, soundness. It speaks of welfare. It speaks of peace. It speaks of welfare. And it speaks of peace. So, as the Lord takes delight in our welfare, as the Lord takes delight in our integration, how human relationships are integrated, how covenant with God and man get truly integrated and functional, that is to say, man walks in the dynamics of the covenant and manifests it. And God is backing it and confirming it and all. It speaks of well-being and happiness and safety in body, soundness in body, health and financial and worldly good prosperity. He speaks of all of that. And the Bible says the Lord takes delight in this. So he takes in delight in Kelvin's well-being and my well-being. He takes in delight in Zorina's well-being. It takes delight in Temi's soundness of mind and everything that has gone out of alignment coming back into alignment. God takes delight in that kind of thing. God takes delight in we holding money, finances. God takes delight. Second Corinthians, not first, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. It says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." I mean, when we talk about grace, 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 if you're not careful, one would have thought about it being this just spooky thing that you will experience and something that empowers you some way and all. But in this context, it speaks of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that this grace is able to allow Jesus to condense himself from a place of riches and become poor. And that grace allows us who were in a lowly state of poverty to rise into the realm of riches. Now, when the Bible talks about being rich, we know, we have an idea of what it looks like of being rich. And again, remember the foundational truth of you prosper even as your soul prospers. That is one level of being rich. And remember the premises of how the Lord prospers us and makes us rich in every dimension of having abundance, outward possession. Outward possession of having abundance and having outward possession of being affluent, of being affluent, of being affluent. Let me see. Yeah, thank you very much. Of being affluent, of being affluent, and possessing the ability. Let me read this. It's affluent in resources so that he can give blessings of salvation to all. I mean, think about the way the word salvation is even used in this context. Affluence and resources so that he can give blessings of salvation to all. So there is an embodiment of our salvation that must be made evident. And this evidence flows from being rich, rich in spirit, rich in soul. Rich in good health and rich in possessions, abundance and outward possession and rich supply and all. And so the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in one instance defines the condensation nature of Christ that he's able to move from riches to low and gives us an exchange, and we are thrown into that place. The last scripture, and this scripture has been on my heart for some weeks now, And it is something that I am praying into almost every day. Sometimes 3 times in a day, I pray several scriptures and I pray this, sometimes twice in a day, sometimes once in a day. Isaiah 45, the verse 3 says, I will give you. I will give you. The axis of power is not in how much of what I would have learned, even out of this presentation, as we offer godly counsel and to steer things and guide and provide some framework in which people can be activated to begin to step into the realm of wealth and all. Beyond all of this, it says, I will give. Beyond all the academics, it says, I will give. Beyond all the training and the skills that we would have, it says, I will give. It's important that we return to that place of I will give. It says, I will give the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. And I've explained this somehow on one of the Sunday broadcast sessions. And this scripture requires us that we pray into it. This scripture requires that we think. It says, I will give you. I will give you. I am will give you. I will give you treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who called you by your name, who summoned you by your name, am the God of Israel. I'm the God of Israel. So I think last week we were talking about value creation. I'm going to skip over this. And let me share some things here. What do I want to do with this slide? I think this slide is in three parts. And in just some few minutes, I think I'm going to run through it. What I want to do is to point you to certain sectors, certain industries, certain spaces, when we see where the money go, where is the wealth? Where is it hidden? Because oftentimes we could be waiting and waiting and waiting, but just this pointer will lead to an activation. I share a story with you. One of the products that I dealt in some years ago, and I still hold a franchise for the whole of Africa, was a product from Denver, Colorado, a company in Denver, Colorado, one of the companies that started a biometric thumb drive. They've moved away from biometric thumb drive. Almost about 30 years ago, or more than 30 years ago, they were the first company to start biometric thumb drive, and then they stopped it because they realized it could be circumvented and all of that. Now, I came back from work one day and I was sitting on the bed, and suddenly I went to my mail and I found this particular email. So I hit the link. There's a link in it talking about some security news. I hit the link. The link jumps into the browser and I am on a news page. On the news page to somewhere my right, I saw this banner, internet banner advert of a thumb drive. Immediately I saw it, I remember telling Gilda those, I said, this is money. This is money. This thing I'm seeing is money. So I clicked it and I wrote to them. I went to their website and I wrote to them and they responded back and forth. They signed a huge contract with me. And that whole world of cybersecurity has been very good business until, should I say I lost focus or something took me out and all. So few industries. And the first industry that if you're considering stepping up, because the point is this: nobody has ever become a millionaire on salary. If you recall Sunday morning, I shared some time ago, avoid a salary trap. And I even brought in the legacy component and said, we have to extend this to our children, and that our children should not get locked in a salary cycle, because it limits them and limits their capacity and will imprison a lot of future for them and the people that they may be overseeing as the future goes. So when we look at a real estate area, what are we looking at? Basically, you are looking at real estate and real estate related businesses, real estate and real estate related businesses. So being in property management, think about commercial, residential, and office space rental. These are capacities that, assuming number one, if you have some money in Africa, for example, if you have some small money in certain locations, you can get land as cheap as, let me say, $1,000. $1,000. You can get a plot of land. I don't know how much you are on. I don't know. Here we have what we call 80 by 70 feet. Some places are 100 by 70 feet. I don't know how that will form into a square meter and all of that, unless I do the conversion. But you can look at your jurisdiction. Is it that possible for me to be able to lease a land? Is it that possible for me to be able to buy a land? Is there an opportunity to be able to invest into land? Land is one of the biggest thing that people should be investing into right now. I remember listening to a preacher so many years ago. He had a book. The title is Investing for the Future, I think. He's a preacher. And he said he is blessed. He has lots of resources and he has land. And that what happened is that anywhere he was transferred to, he's an American guy. Anywhere he was transferred to, as he lived there for about 6 months a year, he'll buy land. Sometimes when he's been relocated from that environment, he will sell that property. And then he recoups loads of money and all. And so he's made a lot of investments and all. Land is very important. If you do not have a piece, believe God, get a piece of land. Get a piece of land. If you have the resources, get a strategic location. If you can, and we are talking about people being activated into various capacities, you should be able to start a real estate company or something. You should be able to begin to place things out there. You should be able to position yourself. So that's a very good business environment that never runs dry. People are going to need accommodation, home to sleep in. Businesses will operate remotely, and at the same time, those who would want to take small commercial office spaces will do. Commercial properties that will go out for rentals for people to do business and all is important. The other that I know, initially I was very scared about until I started buying books and doing a lot of research on YouTube and listening to folks. And in the process, I've come across a gentleman who has opened up to me, who is doing so well, even in the world of forex and crypto. And he's just willing to open his world to me and teach me and guide me. And he would ask you, take baby step and all. This is an area many people have been scared of, but basically, forex and crypto works like the stock exchange. If one is investing into stocks and all, you can think about crypto. You can do a little research about it. In fact, I should have done the stocks, forex, and crypto. It's important, an important area. I want to encourage people, do first of all, do a research. Do a deep and thorough research. Convince yourself. Convince yourself. I know somebody in Ghana, a preacher, who has made loads and loads and loads of money from this. Few weeks ago, I recalled Ahuma Kwame, was sharing with me how it's predicted. Is it 2025 or 2030? The 2030, I guess. The crypto market or Bitcoin market or something was going to be as huge as something millions. He shared the news with me. If you recall, he shared that news, but I've lost it. This is a huge potential. Forex trading, cryptocurrency, and its related businesses. An area we must begin to look into. An area you want to begin to look into. Then also, again, ICT and Internet of Things, information and computer technology world, and all of the IoTs, Internet of Things. Imagine the level of emergence of AI today, artificial intelligence. I remember always thinking about artificial intelligence as some robots that will be physically carrying and taking over people's jobs, but that thing has become so formidable and metamorphosed into a piece of software. I recall we a project we were working on, and we needed to buy a lot of bots, a lot of robots to do work for us. So, and they are pieces of software, they are pieces of scripts written. They are scripts written to behave in a particular way. For example, there's a website sitting, and the website is downloading products from well over 200 to 2,500 other websites and displaying locally on each website. Currency must be updated at real time. Product quantity must be updated in real time. All of those dynamics. And we bought a particular tool. And this tool is able to link us to well over millions of shops, e-commerce shops across the globe, even in Europe, even in remote places that you couldn't think of. Then we got a piece of software that started doing some of the things that I've mentioned earlier. Internet of Things, the world of ICT, there is so much information available. Google has so many programs, three months program, 6 months program, and somebody can begin to do a lot in this particular environment and gain remote jobs with a certain level of salaries and all. Now, the future of the world, and even Elon Musk and others are signing petitions and begging that AI development should cease. They should slow down on it completely because if not, human beings will go into extinction. The reality of what is happening, I use some AI for some activities that I engage in. And if I want to talk about it, my goodness, what those things are doing is real, real crazy. So you, it's never late. We are never old. We can still learn something. However, it is a huge business potential area that we must begin to take charge. For example, people are using AI to write whole books. And they'll write these books with AI, then they go to a paraphrasing tool and re-paraphrase everything, read through it, and boom. Within some hours, they have a complete book ready to go to the press. And then they can publish. They can any topic, any subject at all. And the quality of content is so great that you will be surprised. This is how lazy the world has become. This is how man is being put on the line. So we would have to position ourselves and get into the world of IT applications and its related products. So you see over the fintech companies emerging, cloud computing, cybersecurity. Cybersecurity is a huge one. I have been fortunate to have consulted for cybersecurity companies and then also have been at the forefront of selling security products and solutions, services like penetrative testing and all of that. And all of that. There was a project we were working on again, and I requested of a company out of the Czech Republic to do penetrative testing and make recommendations for this project. And the bill that came, that thing was going to take just about a week to do. The bill that came was about 100,000 euros. Incredible. 100,000 euros for somebody to use his brain, his expertise to check all algorithms and bots and all of that. And there are products that are going out there that are a source of money that one can position himself and become a distributor, become whatnot, or you begin to write some piece of solution. I overheard or read some few years ago that there the application that alerts the Israelis of rockets being launched from the Palestinian territory was written by an 11-year-old. Some years ago, again, an 11-year-old sold a business to Yahoo. I mean, fresh business, 11, I say 11-year-old, some 12-year-old boy, and it was in the millions of dollars. Sold that business to. So this is an industry area you want to consider. The other is food. Food and food, agriculture and agribusiness. Think about organic value added products. I don't know how many of us have seen this. Have you seen vertical farming? Who have seen vertical farming? I saw it and I so admire it. I want to have it in my backyard. Vertical farming. And I saw another set of people also doing vertical farming using sacks. Using just the sack that you know, vertical farming. I was amazed, and they developed it in Portugal, and they pioneered it out of the prisons in Portugal. They have fresh fruits and all, which may seems to be much more healthier than the fertilizer base and the genetically modified products that may be on the market. So agric is one of the areas. Agric is one of the areas. And all of us may have to start having some backyard garden even in our homes. I listened to Dr. Miles Monroe. There's a video, my wife and I were watching some few days back. And he said, ask me of broccoli. I can bring you enough from my backyard now. Ask me of fresh tomatoes. He says, I can bring you some from my backyard now. I mean, this is a guy who died some years ago and is gone. But I mean, the guy seems to be ahead of things. Food, agric, and agric-related business is an area that people will constantly be in need. If you're into food business and your food is good, bingo. So it is time to position ourselves. It is time to ask God to put a blessing on us that brings us into this thing. Let's talk about defense and security. Defense and security, products and services, cybersecurity, surveillance technology, and private security. These are hot cakes. These are hot cakes. These are hot cakes. These are hot cakes. You can't underestimate surveillance technology these days. And all kinds of technology are there. If you have the expertise and the acumen, you can break through in that area. Retail and e-commerce. The retail and e-commerce world continues to grow rapidly and for if I'm not making a mistake, for well over 20 or 30 years since it's caught up with people, it has been growing rapidly. And so you may want to consider taking a retail shop online. Take a retail shop online. A small website that is selling something and that is making available some products to people. I don't want to speak so much so that have violated any confidential agreement I would have signed. There's so much out there. But in that world of retail and e-commerce, in that world of e-commerce, it gives off to retail, it gives off to logistics, it gives off to digital payment systems. These are things that are falling within this realm and are real world of finances, real world of money, real world of wealth, that people who want to sit in the comfort of their home, get something done, and pay them. Think of healthcare. And we have to begin to think of healthcare in another context, not necessarily the context of feeding and fueling and empowering the pharmaceutical companies who continue to sell chemicals to us. And to some extent, some of the drugs are maybe good, but to some large extent, side effects of the things that we take are crazy. So organic solutions, home care, think of home care, think of telemedicine, think of healthcare consultancy. These are very important. And the energy, think of alternative clean energy. Here we have abundance of solar. Here we have abundance of solar. A friend out of Germany was talking about even the technology of water, that he has two professors around him who have been able to put a vehicle together that runs on just HO2 water. So much is happening around us, and clean technology will be the way to go. Maybe somebody should be dreaming about wireless electricity. Somehow, all things are possible. Let me talk about this last one, clean tech. Clean tech. Clean tech. We'll talk about waste management, recycling, water treatment, and environmental sustainability management. So I want to just stop here. I don't want to stretch it. Just to throw some ideas at you, some of the areas one will have to begin to look at. Most probably, if the opportunity is there, we have to begin to take all of this content and open it up. How does one make an entry into this market and all? So thank you. I want to say God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, Zarina talks about hydroponics. It's a big deal also here also. What was that? What's hydroponics something?
A hydroponic system is one where they use plastic material to create layers of
Housing.
no, not housing. It's to raise plants, and there's a part of the plant, so it's liquid only, so they use fertilizer into instead of using soil, liquid water and fertilizer. And we plants can grow really well and healthy in it. And there's another layer where fishes can grow lower down into, so it's like pipelines with holes where you can put the plants in, and only a liquid system. So there's no need for soil or soil content. So for those persons who do not have space, they do not have land, but they have a little area that you can create it. So it can go elevated, it can go up, just like what you were talking about, the vertical planters. Yes. So it can go up and it could go lengthways as well. And people get involved in it. It of itself now is very expensive to put together, but initially when it started up, it was fairly cheap, and persons who would have gotten into it would have got the benefits of it. Now the system is a little bit more expensive because everybody wants to get into it. But because you don't need the soil, and because it's a fast turnover, and you can plant quick crops like lettuce and seasonings, different sorts of chives, celeries, pak choys, different types of quick turnover, and you can get profits out of that. So it's become a big thing where people are doing it in their side yards, and not just large scale, but small enough that they can have an income as well. And it's become pretty popular in Trinidad.
Whoa, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Please, I'm done. I don't have much to say in this regard. I'm trying on these particular meetings to go a bit technical and point at some things and just throw a whole world at ourselves. Then we go back thinking and we go back processing all kinds of things and believing God and trusting God so the Lord can put a blessing on us. Thank you. Hey, Amzad, I think I saw Amzad come on.
Yes, good evening, Mark. Yes, I was a little bit late, but I wanted to see what was still going on here. So here I am.
That's beautiful. Good to have you, sir. Good to have you. So those are my thoughts. Any questions, any thoughts? You can expand even beyond this. Some other beautiful things that are happening around your place, like Zarina is just thrown in that spanner. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I thought I saw somebody unmuted. Yeah, Zarina.
You know, Pastor Mark, he's talking about all the different, avenues that you can get involved in. And I'm just sitting here thinking about simple things like a kitchen garden. And while it wouldn't give you enough to probably sell to gain income, it certainly does buffer your need to spend money out into the markets where you purchase stuff that just spoils within 2 or 3 days. And even things like that, helps you not to have to spend so that you could then in turn, have that money to use somewhere else. Recently I planted 6 tomato trees, right?
Right.
And I had so much fruit off of these trees that I literally gave probably all of my family members more than once and still had enough to cut and freeze and to cook and still have a couple more, to reap. So it's not sometimes it's not even the big things, it's little things, it's a little effort that makes your life, less expensive, that the expense is saved somehow on some end on your part. So now you have available cash to do something you want to do or to do something you need to do, pay an extra bill perhaps, go to school perhaps, that you can do little things like that to save income. You may not have enough to sell to earn, but it keeps the money in your pocket.
That's right. Wow, that's great. Kelvin, any thoughts?
Yeah, plenty, Mark. I was thinking about how what Serena just said about starting something like that. It's and what opened up to me was the fact that God will get into what we do and he will bring multiplication and addition. And it's like as you were going through these things, Mark, these different areas that will be needed as the time goes on, I think about how open I have to be to new things. In fact, everything I've ever tried was new at one time. Everything I tried. So if my mind would beat me there and limit, I could be limiting God in things that he may want to open up to me. Maybe there's some things I didn't even know I was good at, but because the wrapping looks unfamiliar, I won't open the package. You know what I'm saying? So we have to be open that maybe God would want to use us in different ways. We may not have ever seen ourselves in healthcare. We may have never seen ourselves in industry. In industry or in something one of your former slides there. Never would have seen myself in waste management, recycling, and clean tech. You know, but God may have that provided. And so I think it really requires a new wineskin to be open to the things that God may want to alert us to that we never would have thought about would be possible. That he would use energy, healthcare, e-commerce, yeah, all of these things, defense and security. You can't look at these things anymore with an eye of there are other people that do these things. Maybe it is us that does maybe two or three of them. And we never had any history that God will give us the training. He will give us the know-how to bring people around us to be able to help us. But one thing I do know, in these last days, we need kingdom businesses. We need people at the helm that are moral, that care about people, and not just the bottom line. They're concerned about the bottom line, but they're more concerned about people and their families and the welfare of their families. You know, not just, I need you here so you can make money and this and that. How about creating a building, a business that people can stay away from? You know, imagine having a place where people love to come and they feel a part of the ownership. They feel a part of the company. So I'm saying we need to have business, kingdom business leaders that have a heart for God, that have a heart for people, and will do things ethically, will do things morally, and people are actually upgraded as a result of being a part of the businesses that we do. It changes their lives, you know.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I have some notes there on kingdom businesses. And, you know, somebody can start a trade, and the focus of the trade, like Kelvin said, is not necessarily to make profit, but is to create a certain level of access, a certain level of peace, a certain level of healing, a certain level of opportunity, sustenance, and all. So I think even today, people are talking about social enterprises, but some of them is just purely an avenue to get some funding from some donor, and then they'll put one or two invoices behind it, and they said they've done a project, but a huge chunk of that money has actually been laundered, if I mean, has been washed, put in the washing machine, and then clean, and is gone through and landed somewhere else by just some false documentations and all. But we as kingdom believers, we go beyond money. Kevin, you wanted to come in here. Yeah. I see your microphone.
Yes. Yeah, Mark. It's really something. I feel that God really wants to invade these spaces. Mm-hmm. With people. What makes it a kingdom people, what makes it a kingdom business are kingdom people, you know, and what makes kingdom people, they look at Christ as king. And so their living, their thoughts, their energy, everything is for the king. And so I just feel like this would be, you know, we talked about evangelism, you talk about winning people. I feel like if we can build something or be a part of a space like defense and security, okay. Yes, certainly we'll provide defense and security, but inside of defense and security is a revelation.
That's right.
For people who come into that space, that they learn more than defense and security. They're exposed to a people, a principle, a way of life that will upgrade them and make them better. And it's just like Brenda has reemerged with someone from her real estate space that she was connected with about 5 years ago. This guy reemerges, and we're going to be leading him to the Lord. He just really connected with Brenda, and I talked to him briefly yesterday. He said, listen, why don't you come over? Because I really want, now he's a Jewish kid. He says, I want to please Jesus. I want to please Jesus. And so, you know, I just want to have a conversation with him. And I want, because clearly, you know, he's been around Brenda and he hasn't been inundated with the Bible. He's been inundated with love. He's been inundated with light, as he calls it. And he's been really, really deeply impacted just by having Brenda around doing these open houses. Well, God is clearly doing something. He's saying something. And so this young man really has a lot of pain in his past, but I really believe that God wants to heal him. And God wants to invade the normalcy of his life. And I just want to be able to assist in that. And it's such a great opportunity. Opportunities are all around us. And he's a contractor. He's a real estate agent. And he's a guy really that loves and has a zest for life, but he's been hurt very, very badly. So he's got a perspective of the world that that needs to be aligned to see how Christ sees him and his plan. So, yeah. So it can be exciting. It can be exciting. I was talking to a couple that just got into ministry. They're doing a ministry there in Trinidad. And God puts a ministry into their lives just when it seems like their plates were filled. They had issues with children. All of this stuff was going on. And all of a sudden, the Lord says, okay, boom, start a ministry. And I'm telling you, Britt and I were meeting with them maybe like last week. And they are they're at peace. They are at rest. They have energy. And I'm saying, you guys were really busy and you were worn out. But God gave them service. Gave them service. And it just really revolutionized their lives. And it is revolutionizing their lives. So I just say that to just say, somewhere inside of this, God has equipped us to be able to do something that we never would have thought twice about or looked twice at. So it just behooves us to be open and to follow what God is saying. So thank you so much, Brian.
Oh, Caleb, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, Omar.
Yeah. Hello, everyone. So for me, I was very intrigued when you brought out the verse, Isaiah chapter 45. And I think I've seen it a couple of times, verse 3, that says, I would, you know, give you treasures from darkness and hidden secrets.
Hidden riches of secret places.
Secret places. And I don't know, but that word hidden riches in secret places just jumped up to me so much. And I've been thinking about it for a while, that there really are riches in hidden places. And I think what I'm thinking about is, how do we access these hidden riches in secret places? And I remember you once said something about, and told a story about this eye doctor, the one who
designed the deal. Okay, so the story. Let me bring in the story so that, because not everyone, and the story is very simple. So don't mute your microphone. You are the one in charge. The story is about this girl who attended Juan Hunter. I mean, those of us in the States, you may know Juan Hunter. Some of us may also know her. Juan Hunter is that lady, Francis Hunter, Charles Hunter, or something. Juan grew up with them, but Juan was having a meeting and she said, give to the Lord. So people came forward, somebody brought $1,000, somebody brought that and that and that. And this particular lady wrote a check and told the Lord that all I have is this $1,000, $1,000 in my account. Father, as I sow this seed, give me something that I will do that will impact humanity. And I mean, she had a dream. It was about some design of the eye, should I call it technology or solution for eye problem. And boom, 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 boom. Within the shortest possible time, 20 million rich. She became 20 million rich. Auma, so over to you.
Yeah, so I guess for me, what I'm thinking about through these processes is, how do we access these
these riches, you know. And in fact, I just went to the Message translation and it said, I will lead you to buried treasures, secret caches of valuables. And I felt it was very profound, but, you know, that there are riches in abundance, it's just that it's hidden. But then we think that what we have now in the world is that's it. But I believe 20 years ago, no one thought that we'll have something like AI or sun being turned into glass or carbon capture or all these, you know, new inventions. So it's just that there's so much more that we can't even fathom now. But, you know, how do we do it through prayer? Do we do it through giving, like you said? How do we access these riches? You know, and I feel it's just something that I'm trying to find out how to access it. So if you could share a little, if anyone could share how to access these, you know, wealth, you know, I'll be glad.
Beautiful. Wealth is found in the most unlikely places with the most unlikely people under the most unlikely conditions. Any of us, any thoughts? How do you think? What do you feel inspired? Anybody wants to share anything?
Yeah. Well, one thing I would say, and I don't want to just keep talking, Mark, but I just, these are certain things that hit me as you were talking here, that we have to be very careful because God is speaking through these PowerPoints and scriptures, and you know what I'm saying? I don't want to get lost in the PowerPoint. I want to hear God inside of the PowerPoint. I want to hear what is he saying to me inside of this. So that's what I find quite inspiring. This is really good. But God is saying something to me inside of this PowerPoint. He's making an appeal, and I want to know what that is and to be able to find him in that. So this is pretty exciting. This is really, really exciting stuff, Mark. Thank you.
Thank you. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. Now, let me give some background to this scripture. Starting from the verse 1, you see the scripture says, thou sayest the Lord to his servant Cyrus, whose right hand I will hold to lose the armor of kings. To lose the armor of kings, the loins of kings. The loins of kings. It says, I'll go before you and I will break the double door open and cut into pieces the gates of bronze. And the bars of iron. That picture that you see is what you would have observed when kings go to war. Kings will go to war carrying all kinds of goods. Carrying all kinds of goods. I mean, apparel, gold, and almost like it's as if they are carrying their whole nation to the war. And when you conquer a particular king and his people, you get instant access to those wealth. I think there is a Hebrew word that is melech or so. A melech or so. The dynamism involved speaks of the treasures of kings, where they keep secret hidden things. Now, depending on each particular field, each particular area, the access may be very dynamic. I was talking to an apostle one day. We were at a dinner, great apostle. And I asked him, I said, how do you come into these things that you share? He said, I don't even know, but they arrive at me. Sometimes they just arrive at me. So one, as believers, we talk about that benevolence, the grace of God, that causes that transposition. moving us from that lower point of darkness and no light, no understanding, and boom, suddenly you're coming to this light. Number two, sometimes so we may, as we would have been inspired, we may want to investigate, we may want to chase after, we may want to work things out, we may want to research a bit into a particular area. I was sitting again with a businessman. Today I was in his office anyway, and he, some time ago we were talking, and he said he doesn't like it. If you know YAM, all of us here, I think those in training, you know YAM. I don't know, Kevin, if you're exposed to YAM, but if you go to the Ghanaian market or African market, you see a tuber of YAM, if just in case. When you cut YAM open after a while, because of the exposure of the nutrients, it starts reddening up. And this guy was saying that he is investigating how you can package YAM, clean YAM, without it reddening up. I mean, that level of inquiry and search and the investigation and all can bring you into some level of treasure. Because me, for example, I was telling Gilda the other day, I said, can't we start bagging YAM? This is free. I mean, I'm offering free business tips. Can't we start bagging YAM? And we have to do it well for both chips and for those that want to prepare boiled YAM and those that they want to prepare. There's something we call poto poto. We have to do it. And we were having that conversation. We actually went to a shop and I was looking around. I didn't see any packaged YAM, frozen YAM or something. So there's a need, as apart from the benevolence of God, which I believe is upon us, it is leading us into discovery. The places of treasure, darkness, speaks of, I mean, realms that are controlled by powers, realms that are not broken into, realms that are still reserved. Like Kelvin said, there's so much, and there's a whole new, and Amma yourself, you said it, there's a whole new dimension that is lying ahead of us, that is loads of wealth and world transformational that we've not come to. Those are treasures of darkness. It requires some positioning. It requires some level of reframing our thinking, our philosophy, and investigating, and checking, and reaching out. Because God wants to keep secrets. Where I am, if we want to begin to take industry, for example, if I am doing a seminar on, I can't quite remember how we used to call it, starting a business. Let's just say doing a training and development on starting a business. Then there's a session I do on generating new business ideas. When we come to generating new business ideas, we didn't record, but if you ever listen to any of the Facebook Live about 3-4 weeks back, you would discover that I talk about coming into the what and the why. What is it that is frustrating people? That thing, or what does the future point to? So in the area of waste, if we look across even your society where you live, waste may be one of the biggest problem management. Waste management may be one of the biggest problems. And somebody finding a solution to that in that community is a millionaire. Is just a millionaire in just that community. Capture that community, that 18, 20, 19 across Sakumono. That person is a millionaire because it's huge tons of waste. Elsewhere, people are collecting the waste. They are not just dumping it. Now it goes into fertilizer. It goes into all kinds of... I saw somebody pulling fuel out of it. Something like diesel out of waste and all of those dynamics. I've seen somebody also do biogas out of the waste through some process. So all kinds of dynamics are at play. It may not be an area that you are trained in, but once you begin to make inquiries within the shortest possible time, you can come into something. Those would be my thoughts. Thank you. Thank you so much. If there isn't any, okay. Elma, go ahead, please.
Oh no, I was saying thank you. But Prof, please let me just add this. I mean, while we are talking about this.
You expand.
Yeah. So from observation, I mean, just when you were talking, I was just thinking that I see that most of the new things that we are seeing, it's all being done or being created by people who are not in Christ. You know, with all the millionaires, all the billionaires. I mean, majority. So is it that God talks to us as Christians and we don't heed onto it, so he gives it out because he wants to impact the world anyway? Or what? Well, because I remember, I think in 2011 or so, during my thesis, I decided that I was going to create some kind of social media app for videos only, like something similar to Instagram or right now TikTok. It was just videos.
So rich man and woman, oh my god.
but then I said, but then it was going to be tethered only towards Africa for now, and then it grows. And then I was telling a friend of mine about it, and then I don't know, we just didn't go ahead with it. And then I even think that, you know, I don't know if it's happened to some of us, we think of something and then we see it happening maybe 2 or 3 years. Wait, I thought of this same thing that I was going to do, and then I'm seeing someone else doing it. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of interesting, because then thinking about the same question that I asked, I'm now recalling that God gives us these ideas, but is it that we don't take action? And the thing is that God says, well, if you don't worship me, I'll let the stones worship you. So if he's giving us these ideas as Christians and we are not taking heed or taking action, it would probably give someone, because it's not just about us, it's for the human race also, you know, to benefit. yeah, so it's just, you know, just what I wanted to share. You know, it's kind of interesting that so far, all these billionaires, I always think about it, think of Microsoft, Apple, Elon Musk, everything that you're seeing, it seems to be people who are not, you know, at least from what we see outside, you know, embedded in Christ like they ought to. And it's kind of interesting. Yeah.
Whoa. Anybody wants to share any thoughts? I think what Ahuma just said, I have had a similar experience, and I guess I recall reading some materials. I've forgotten how the terminology they use for it. A number of terminologies. One of them is quantum something. I've forgotten. Something like, if you take an atom, if you divide, I want to say something.
I say, is it quantum physics?
No, not quantum physics, quantum something. You take an atom, if you divide, let's say you divide an atom, the same atom, into two. If you spin it here and you take the other piece to something they were saying, you leave it, it also begins to spin, just like they were talking about triggers of thoughts and ideas and all. And that as an idea is coming to you, it is almost like a release. I don't know these guys who are writing, I don't know if they were believers. Almost like a release happening everywhere. And personally, I've noticed that sometimes I have some very good idea 2 years ago, and suddenly I see somebody working the same idea. I wonder, did he come to me to steal it? Does he come to me to steal it? And Zorina is saying that God does not take his gift back. So the abilities are in us, and it can be developed whether we are with God or not. And that's one clear, precise things. Then also, there is a piece of book. I'm doing free advert for Sean Bowles. Economy of Heaven. In that book, he talked about how a gentleman has been praying and God has loaded him with ideas and concepts and all. But he was seeing how the demonic horde were stepping in to through relationships. So things are looking natural on the outside, but behind it is a lot of current and a lot of activity. Demons are getting into all kinds of activities through the relationships of them, and will eventually steal these gold bars of ideas and concepts from him, and then the enemy captures it. So, one, the gift of God is with us, it's not taken. Two, I believe that ideas are thrown and God wants us to step into it. Three, I believe God speaks to us, but sometimes we are still praying instead of acting. The world is more aggressive. The children of the world are more shrewd than the children of the kingdom, Jesus himself said. So we need to begin to add some practical aggression to our approach, and not being just churchy. I recall a gentleman, we were on a project, we would go to meetings and he just said, by the grace of God. The person sitting across does not understand by the grace of God. And this guy kept talking by the grace of God, by the grace of God, until we took the contract from him. And the last thing, I believe that, I think I've said it already, demons and the world is more aggressive than the believers. We have to wake up. We have an idea, we want to run with it, we want to try to begin to work it out, we want to try to begin to implement them and allow them to grow. Yeah, thank you. Ooh, I think it's been a good one. We're not going to stretch this, but we just want to pray. I just want to say a word of prayer. Amazad, if it's okay with you, you want to say a word of prayer. I mean, with these scriptures in front of us, I think it will just be a good thing to say a word of prayer if Amazad is available.
Yes. Yes, Mahak, I am here.
Please shoot.
Father, we thank you for this conversation, a conversation that reaches into different aspects of our mind and our being. We pray, Father, that the creative genius of God will begin to become active on the inside of us. The same God whose creative genius spoke the worlds and framed the worlds and spoke things into being and established patterns and order. Let this same creative power that is in us, O God, become active once again. Where we would have clouded it with humanistic reasoning and humanistic teachings and indoctrinations of religious things, we say, O God, that the Spirit of God in us will begin to awaken and will begin to bring to life creative ideas, creative imaginations, powerful thoughts and thinking that can only come from a divine strand of God in us. We speak it to our very core, Father, that you begin to activate from deep within our DNA, because we know we have the DNA of God in us, and begin to activate as we begin to think and see and dream and speak to a reality that must change. We speak to our present reality that this is not who we will always be.
Yes.
But we speak to that which we know that we have come from, that we can become, And we say that which we can become, we will become. That which we are designed to be, we will be. We were created and designed to be kings and princes in the earth. And so, Father, I speak over this conversation that once again, the seed has been sown and it's been watered, and it will begin to become active and activated. In Jesus' name, we speak to many hearts here tonight, Father, that ideas and thoughts that they haven't thought of as yet, or ideas and thoughts that they have brushed aside as insignificant, will begin to resurface. I speak, Father, even the prophetic grace in this area to speak direction and clarity as we begin to bring together this financial portfolio that we wish to create. All for your honor and glory, O God, all to establish your name in the earth, all to advance the kingdom of God, all to declare before the world, all to declare that Jesus Christ is our Lord. This is what he has bestowed us with, this gift on the inside, this ability to create, to build, to think, to learn, to unlearn, to relearn, to think new thoughts that has not yet come into our minds. I speak the creative power of God over us. I speak the creative power of God over us. I speak this creative power begin to become active, Kwame. This creative power of God, let your mind begin to absorb something that is out of this realm. And it will become manifest in this realm. I speak over you, Calvin, that you begin to stir up that which is in your DNA, which you know you have inherited, not only in a spiritual sense, but in a natural sense. It is the spirit of the entrepreneur, Calvin. It is the spirit to be an entrepreneur, to be a manager of business, to be a manager and an overseer of business. It is in your DNA, natural and spiritual. And I speak this to you to be things that you may have covered over the years and forgot about it, but it come back to your mind and begin to speak or begin to water it. And as you begin to water it, it'll begin to come to the fore again. Mark Abeko, I speak of you that you begin to see things in a brand new light. I'm speaking over you, Mark, to revisit some things that you may have put your hands on, some things you may have touched and may not have worked in a time. And as we know, some things are for times and seasons. And I'm saying there's an opening up of a new season where you can revisit some things that you would have looked at, some things you would have shelved, some things that were started and were shelved early and had a short lifespan. I'm just speaking by the realm of the spirit to revisit some of these things or ideas that you would have had in seasons past. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I speak over Zoe and Timmy. I speak the word of God. Begin to cause you to go beyond your natural abilities and begin to tap into a realm of possibilities that go beyond what we were trained or learned or been expected to do. This goes beyond our natural training. Things that require divine wisdom, as Solomon experienced. Even the things he experienced in the natural helped him to learn wisdom. There were aspects of his wisdom that can only be seen as divine. And I speak to you to go beyond your natural learning. Go beyond your natural, no matter how high that may be, BSc, MSc, PhD. Go beyond your natural learning. Because a degree is just that, a degree. And a degree is just an amount, a drop in the bucket. And you can never learn everything in the natural. But at the point of time when wisdom is needed, it will come. And so let wisdom come in Jesus' name. I bless everyone on this call. I declare the hand of God is upon you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. This is wonderful. Amen. This prayer is heavy. I don't need to pray anything. This prayer is good. So friends, I'll do well to post this, and I want to encourage everybody. Let's continue to dream with God again. Thank you very much.